a couple of weeks on this topic of Bible exercises. Bible exercises. We're covering this summer godliness exercises, and we're taking as our theme for our lessons 1 Timothy 4:7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Another phrase that's maybe more common in religious, in spiritual books and stuff like that is the phrase or the term spiritual disciplines. So as I study this, or if you wanted to study it some more and found a book about spiritual disciplines, that would be talking about these topics. I'm using this phrase because it's the words that are in our verse, exercise thyself rather under godliness. But spiritual disciplines and exercising toward godliness all relate to the same theme or the same subject. I'm going to take a few moments and review what we've talked about for the last couple weeks and try to summarize that, and then we'll get into some Bible exercises. So exercising and discipline, if it doesn't have a purpose, if it doesn't have a direction that it's going in, it can be very boring, very monotonous, almost feel like, well, why do you even do these things, right? It's easy for us physically to think, why am I even doing this? We have to remember in the middle of the exercise that there's fruit, maybe not food fruit, but there are results that this exercise will give us, whether it's exercise for our health, whether it's playing scales on the piano. Clara would never have been able to play that piece of music for our offertory if she hadn't done a lot of things that are really boring and made herself keep doing it, or maybe her mom made her keep doing it. But either way, those exercises, unless you can see that there's something that's worth doing this work for in the future, it's easy to just let them go. And since our lives are, our whole life is spent toward becoming like Christ, we need to do these exercises. But it's not like, a couple times I ran a marathon. So once I got to actually run in the marathon, then all that training was over. Well, our training is never over until we see Christ. And so it's easy for us to kind of lose sight of that. Day to day, different things come into our lives that draw our focus away from what God wants us to be. And it's easy to lose sight of where we should be. And then, once we've lost sight of where we should be, then the exercises that the Bible teaches us to do to draw us toward godliness can lose their purpose for us. And we kind of just start going through motions and then think, why do I even do this? And so it's important for us to remember what we shall become. The Bible says that God saved us so that we could be conformed to the image of His Son. So He wants us to be Christ-like. And then He intends, since we're not, He intends for us to grow toward Christ-likeness as we live this life. And so the way that He's provided for us to do that, the way that for us to grow, to become like Christ, is through discipline, through exercises that the Bible teaches that bring us toward godliness. So godliness exercises or spiritual disciplines are practices that promote growth. They can be personal practices or corporate practices, interpersonal, like in church or in your home or personally. They are activities, not attitudes. So there is an element of our life that is not activities. It's our attitude. It's our spirit. But these that we're talking about are activities. These activities, though, affect our spirit. They affect our attitude. But then our attitude towards them affects them also. You can't really separate them, but we're just talking about the one. We are going to talk about just biblical exercises, things that the Bible teaches that we should do. There are other things that you might say, well, I get to enjoy the Lord when I do this activity, hiking in the woods or pulling weeds in the garden or whatever like that. But those are not biblical exercises. You might get spiritual nourishment through that, but probably because you're doing some type of a biblical exercise while you're doing that. The biblical exercises that we find in Scripture are enough. The Bible is sufficient. It's all we need to live a life that's pleasing to Christ, that draws us toward Christ-likeness. And so if we find it in Scripture, if we don't find it in Scripture, it's not necessary to grow as a Christian. These exercises come, they grow out of the gospel. They don't leave the gospel behind. It's not like we're saved and then we just, all right, I'm saved, don't have to worry about that anymore. No, I'm saved, and because I'm saved, Christ lives within me, His Spirit is within me, and the gospel changes more than my destination. It changes what I do today and tomorrow and what I do throughout today. So exercises comes out of the gospel, but, and then we should remember that they are a means. They are not the end. It's not the point of our life is not to do spiritual exercises. But we need to do these spiritual exercises in order to get to the end. The end is being Christ-like. But we can't be Christ-like if we're not doing the exercises. We don't go through the means that God has given to us. So we talked about last week, we mentioned three ways that God changes us. One is through people. Remember, He sends people into our lives. Iron sharpeneth iron, and other, and then He sends circumstances into our lives. And we know that all things work together for good. But those people and circumstances, we don't have much control over. God sends those into our lives. The third way that He changes us is through spiritual disciplines, through godliness exercises. And we do have a choice about those things. We can decide whether we're going to obey the Lord and exercise, or we're going to just forget about it and let things slide. We should note that the Lord expects us to do these things. He's changing us into the image of His Son, but He expects us to do the exercises that are needed, necessary to do this. These exercises, these spiritual disciplines, they're ways that we can place ourselves in the path where God sends blessing. Remember Zacchaeus? He wanted to see the Lord. If he didn't do something to put himself down the path where the Lord was going, he wouldn't have seen the Lord. If he just stayed where he was, he wouldn't have seen Him. If he went down some other path where the Lord wasn't walking, he wouldn't have seen Him. But he went down the path where the Lord was heading. And that's kind of like what these spiritual exercises, these godliness exercises, are ways that we put ourselves in the path that God normally travels as He blesses His people. So there's a danger in skipping these. There's two possible dangers. One is that you could miss God forever. Now, it's not that doing these exercises get you into heaven, but since those that are saved have the Spirit of God living in them, if there's no desire in your life at all to do these exercises, you very well may not have the Spirit of God within you. Now, if you've been away from the Lord for a long time, you've quenched the Spirit, it might be that the Spirit's movings and yearnings are faint. So if that's the case, I encourage you to listen hard for them, or just listen for what He says through these lessons and start doing them, and notice how you can draw the Lord draws you close to Himself through doing these exercises. But if there's no yearning, you may not even know God. If you do know God and you don't follow through these exercises and work toward these things, you'll bear very little fruit. Because these are the ways that the Bible tells us that He draws us toward being like Christ. We should note, there's freedom in doing these exercises. Now, I think we understand this, but there's a tension there. There's a, like, oh, I have to do these things in order to be free. Doesn't that sound like I have to do something? Can't I just be free to do whatever I want? Well, we understand this. In any other discipline, mastery of a discipline, a musician, an athlete doesn't accidentally become great. He might have some extra talent, more talent than some others of us, but he still disciplines himself tremendously. Musician, the same way. Even a carpenter. Have you ever worked with somebody and they can just put stuff together? I have. And I'm like, I don't even know which end of the stick to hold to help them. You know, it's, and I know that it should be some way. It takes me 5 hours to do something that it takes someone else 10 minutes to do. Why? Because they've put the time in. They've worked at it and they've worked at it and they've worked at it. Maybe they're blessed a little bit, but you don't get to be a master. You don't have that without exercising. There's something the world calls the 10,000 hour rule, right? If you ever be a master at something, work at it for 10,000 hours. It's not just do one thing for 10,000 hours because a master can do all kinds of things around it. But this is a similar idea. You have to make yourself do something, and by making yourself do whatever that activity is, it gives you freedom. Something that we should note is that price that we pay, it is a price we pay, but freedom is not lost while we pay the price. If I'm paying the price to play my instrument better, I'm putting time into it, but I'm not losing time. I'm gaining results from it, and it's much more so in our spiritual lives. Freedom is gained as you pay the price, and so the idea of restricting ourselves and gaining freedom, they're not mutually exclusive. In fact, they overlap. In order to have freedom, you have to restrict yourself. And in order to, when you restrict yourself, you gain freedom. Think of this, I mean, it just occurs to me, it's like what we would say with our children or even a dog. A dog is either on the chain or is in the yard, but the yard has a fence. There's some restriction and he has freedom. So if he's not, the chain might be a less freedom than the fence, but it's more than in the cage, right? So anyway, what is the freedom of godliness? Well, it could be having the freedom to quote Scripture. Oh, I've listened to men preach, and I know they have notes, or maybe I even know they don't have notes, and they just quote Scripture. How do they do that? It's not miraculous. It's exercise. You might get the freedom from self-centeredness by devoting yourself to worship and serving others and evangelism. Anyway, the freedom that we get is the reward or the result of God's blessing on our work toward godliness. It doesn't happen in a conference. It doesn't happen in a Sunday school hour. Something else to remember. It takes perseverance. 2 Peter 1:6 says, add to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. So we have knowledge, and then patience, and then godliness. So patience is the idea of perseverance. So we have knowledge. Between knowledge and godliness is perseverance, is patience. We have to start it and keep going. And that patience, perseverance, is discipline to just keep going. And this is something that if we have that we should enjoy. Jesus Christ, he was the most disciplined person there was. He's more disciplined than any of the rest of us. And he was a man of joy. And so we should work toward, as we have the goal of godliness, we should follow his example. All right, so let's get into our first exercise, and that will be Bible exercises. There's a lot of it's Bible intake. Getting the Bible into our life. There's not any exercise that's more important than getting God's word into our life. There's no healthy Christian walk away apart from having a diet of the milk and the meat of God's Word. And we should note that. Peter, when he talked about the milk, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. So he wasn't saying, since you're a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word. He said, like a newborn babe. So we should desire the milk and the meat of God's Word. We get sustenance and nourishment from all of God's Word. And the reasons for this should be obvious. If we know God, or if we want to know God and be godly, we must know the Word of God. And we must know it well. A lot. Yet many of us, even here, we know this and say, why is he talking about this? Or I know that. You might not say why. Well, he has to say that. But we don't spend much more time in God's Word than people that don't even have a Bible. And so we want to talk about the importance of getting God's Word into our life. It's not just the most important spiritual discipline, it's also the most broad. It consists of several sub-disciplines, we might say. And we're going to begin them in a few moments, but it's almost like a university. Now, we just have a Bible college here, but a university has a college of medicine and a college of, religion, a college of arts and sciences, or just a college of arts and another college of sciences. So they have these colleges within a university, and getting the Bible into our life is almost like that. We have the University of Bible Exercises, and in the University of Bible Exercises will be the College of Hearing God's Word, and the College of Reading God's Word, the College of Studying God's Word, and Memorizing God's Word, and Meditating on God's Word, and Applying God's Word. There's so many things that we need to be doing with God's Word. And so we'll start with, we'll go in order, or what I think is the order that it's the easiest to the most difficult. Okay? The easiest to the most difficult. And so to me, what I think is the easiest exercise, the easiest Bible exercise, is the exercise or the discipline of hearing God's Word. Now, all of you are doing that this morning. You've come to church. But if you don't come to church, it might be, and you don't have the discipline of listening to God's Word regularly, you might only hear it accidentally. Or you might just hear it when you feel like it. If you don't have the discipline of making yourself be in a place where you'll hear God's Word, it'll just be whenever I feel like it. Or and you may be that you never hear it at all. So, we need to discipline ourselves to be in a place where we can hear God's Word. And the easiest way, the simplest way to do that is to be in church. Okay? We've developed a practice of steadfastly attending a New Testament church. Don't attend when you feel like it. Will it take discipline? There's people here, I've been going to church since before I was born. Okay, it's just a part of my life. But for other people, it's not a part of your life. Or we can get into circumstances. I was just reading an article. I saw this article and I knew I was teaching on this. I read an article. For some people, the pandemic, the whatever it was, got people out of the habit of coming to church. And once you're out of the habit, it takes discipline. It takes making yourself arrange your life so that you can be in church to hear God's Word. It's important. But in a New Testament church, you're going to hear the teaching and preaching of God's Word. And that's the best place to hear it. And I would encourage you, and maybe I'm going to say it later, that it be the same church every week. And besides hearing God's word in that church, jump in and become a part of that church. But being a part of a church is kind of a corporate. It's something that we do as a group discipline. But you need to hear it. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So it's very important that we follow God's word. But following God's word, keeping God's word, depends on hearing God's word. We have to obey God's word in all of the ways that we bring God's word into our life. We could go through these motions and go our own way. The purpose of these things is to be obedient to what God says. But in this verse, he emphasizes hearing also. Romans 10:17. Many of you might be able to say this as soon as I start it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this doesn't mean that somebody can't come to faith, receive the Lord as Savior, by just reading the Bible. Very famous people have done that, but actually they most likely heard the word of God preached before that time, and then in the moment of conversion took place at a time separate from hearing. But this verse comes by hearing. Of course, we will, if we're trying to teach this, at least I think, but if I'm teaching this, I'm going to jump right past hearing and say, of course, hearing means that you're doing. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to have faith, faith is obedience, but we have to hear it. We have to hear it, and we have to hear the word of God. And then we might note that this faith is not just the faith of that we exercise or that the Lord gives us in conversion. Yes, in order to be saved, we have to have faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith comes by the word of God. But again, just like we said about the gospel doesn't stop at salvation. That's where it starts. And it changes our life as we go on, continue to live. And faith, we need faith throughout our days, even after we're saved. We might need reminded that God provides for His own. And hearing a word, hearing a sermon, hearing the preaching of God's word, or a lesson from God's word, could help us exercise that faith. We might need to circumstances we're in, we might be blessed, our faith might increase by hearing a sermon on the love of God or on having faith to persevere and continue. So this faith, having faith, exercising our faith, be encouraged to obey the Lord in faith, comes often through the preaching or through hearing the preaching of God's word. So there's the simplest, the most direct way to exercise hearing God's word is to do what you are all doing right here. Be in church listening to the Bible being taught. Now I'm teaching this topically, but when you can hear someone explain a passage or a verse, that's very, very helpful. So there's other ways. There's one in particular other way to hear God's word preached, and that's by means of a recording, right? In the old days, we would get tapes. We'd go down to the bookstore and get a cassette tape. Then no more cassette tapes. We got CDs. Then we got MP3s. And now you can just stream it. You can go to various different websites, sermon sites, YouTube. But you can listen to someone preaching God's word. And there's different ways to do that. I listen to Pastor Mitchell has mentioned several times. Being able to hear. So many of you are going to leave this Sunday school hour and go to junior church. That means you're not going to be here to be able to hear the morning sermon. But the morning sermon is put onto the church website and it's broadcasted through the church podcasts. You know, there's, it's in so many different places. And what can you do? You could tomorrow or this afternoon, or might not be there quite as quickly as this afternoon, but at some time you could get to it. I will listen to sermons that I didn't have the chance to hear from here while I'm jogging. I can listen to lots of sermons in one jog because I jog so slow. But anyway, not really. Some of those sermons are way longer than I would ever jog. anyway, but you can do it by, I don't know, washing the dishes, working around the house, exercising. What are some other, traveling down the road. You can listen to sermons from here. But there are other good preachers that could be found to listen to also. I would just say you have to be really careful. You need to be discerning here. There are also lots of bad preachers out there. They call themselves preachers. They sound good to an undisciplined ear, somebody who hasn't, maybe a younger Christian who hasn't heard a lot of the Bible taught, or there's people out there that are deceivers. Way back when Paul talked to the pastors at Ephesus, he said, "Watch out! There's going to be deceivers who come from among you, and there's going to be people come from outside and inside." So you can find good people to listen to on the internet, but you should be very careful. And I would just suggest talk with your actual pastor. These are other pastors. These are other, but talk to your actual pastor about who you listen to. Say, "Hey, I noticed this guy. I listened to a couple sermons. He seems really good." Maybe talk about how much. I don't think it would be a good practice to listen more to somebody else than you hear from your own pastor. I just think that. I don't know, I didn't think much about it, but it kind of makes sense. I have a pastor, the Lord's put me in this church, I'm hearing the preaching from this church, I don't want to just fill my life with twice as much Bible teaching from one other man than I'm getting from my own church. Just an idea. Continuing on this idea. So the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 4:13 said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And so this was, give attendance to the reading of God's Word. So be in a place where you'll hear the reading of God's Word. So Paul, and even more so than that, the Spirit of the Lord, God thought it was important for people to hear God's Word. And so we should make it a disciplined priority. Anything that's disciplined, anything that's exercised, has resistance against it. If you are a younger Christian or still just coming to this, even if you're an older Christian, there'll be times when you'll be like, "Do I really need to go to that?" It should be a disciplined priority to hear God's Word. We could agree that somebody might get some spiritual bounce, we'll call it, by, I don't know, heading to the golf course or out on the lake. It could happen there. But the Lord hasn't promised it would happen there. He hasn't said it would happen there. But He did say, give attendance to the reading of God's Word. Worship of God can't be separated from the Word of God. And so we are to discipline ourselves to go and hear the Word of God. Now let me just have a side note. Many of you, as I mentioned already, are going to go to the other class, to the other building and teach God's Word to the children during the church service, in their children's church service. Many of you will read the Bible out loud with your family or something like that. Let me encourage you that when you get to read God's Word, learn to read it well. Think about the sentences. They are sentences. They're not just verses. Many times a verse isn't a sentence. So there's sentences there. And actually, there's paragraphs there. So try to express the meaning. Practice even out loud. Now you can practice on your family while you read as a family. Use that time. But here's why I'm saying that. Don't let your reading of God's word discourage others from hearing. If I got up and just read the Bible with a monotone and the exactly same pace, I didn't stop a little longer at periods or paragraphs and all that, just like a computer. Well, computers read better than that anymore. But if I just why would I want to hear that? Okay, so when you have the opportunity to read out loud, work at it. You'll only get better if you work at it. Work at trying to make it something that people can understand what they're hearing and can not a discouragement. Now, another thought. What about when we're coming to hear God's word? Preparing to hear God's word. In older times, ancient times, in previous years, and maybe in some circumstances, Christians would immediately bow in prayer for several moments before putting their belongings in a certain place, even before unbuttoning their coat, before even acknowledging someone else was at church. When they arrived, whether they were early or late, as soon as they arrived, they would pause and remind themselves of what they came there to do. And that helps us. That would help remind people what coming to church is about. It's about hearing God's word. We could use that a little of that practice ourselves, I'm sure. An old English Puritan, or an English Puritan writing in 1648, said this. So this is about 400 years old. He said, "First, when you come to hear the word of God, if you would sanctify God's name, you must possess your souls with what it is you are going to hear. That is, what you are going to hear is the word of God. Therefore, you find that the apostle, writing to the Thessalonians, gives them the reason why the word did them so much good as it did. It was because they did hear it as the word of God." And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So when the Thessalonians heard Paul preaching, they received it as it actually was. And it would help us to remember that when we're coming to hear the word of God, we're not hearing Dr. Mitchell preach. I mean, he's the voice that's God using. You're not hearing me teach. If we're presenting the word of God, we're hearing God's word. Some pastors, when they get up, before they read their text, before they get in to their preaching, they say, "These are the words of God." And they read the text. But God is speaking it through His man. And we should work to remember that as we hear it. There's good things represented by the fellowship, that the interaction that happens before a church service. I come here on Sunday night, the kids are going back and forth, saying hi to other people, especially saying hi to their friends. Sometimes they're running around in circles and we are in church, church is about to start, slow down, don't run around. Why do we say that? Because church is about to start. So it's good, the fellowship, we've been serving through the day. I keep saying this, you're going to go down to the other building. There are people in the other building that come up here, but tonight we'll all be together. And it's a wonderful time to encourage one another in fellowship and all that. But coming together is not, we don't come together for the primary purpose of fellowshipping with one another, seeing how things happened in your ministry today. We come together to hear the word of God. So some way it would be good if we could have that fellowship and then maybe slow down, gather the family together. Okay, it's time for church. Church is going to be starting in 3 minutes. Let's just pause and get our mind here on what we're going to be doing. So, hearing God's word is not just being in the place where the word of God is being preached or taught. It's actively listening and listening to be able to obey. Blessed are those that hear the word of God and do it. So, we reviewed why we're here for the summer, godliness exercises. We began talking about the exercise of the idea of bringing the Bible into our life, and we mentioned the first Bible exercise of hearing God's word. What do you think is the next one? Order of easiest to hardest. Reading God's word will be the next one. Reading's a little bit harder than just hearing. Then it would be studying God's word. Studying would be a little further than just reading. And then we'll be, I don't know, some people might say one or the other, but meditating and memorizing God's word and then applying it. Isn't that the hardest part always? Actually doing what the word tells us to do. So we're going to continue on these next week. But for this week, we begin talking about Bible exercises. And let me encourage you, start working on them. Say, well, I am. Make sure that you are. Some of you might not be regularly hearing God's word in a New Testament Bible teaching church like this one. If you live in this area, come back. If you don't live in this area, when you get home, find a church that teaches the Bible and make yourself go there. Make myself. Shouldn't the Spirit of God just lift me up out of bed in time to wash my face for me and put my clothes on me and just float me over? No, make yourself do it. There's a give and take, we might call it, that we, I don't like the phrase God helps those who help themselves necessarily. It's not always true. But at the same time, you're not going to get the blessing of hearing God's word if you don't make yourself get to the place where God's word is being taught and preached. All right, let's close in prayer, and then we'll head to our junior church classes or continue here waiting for the morning service. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, one of the reasons we thank you for it is that we couldn't live without it, really. And we must have it. We must have the truths that are in it in order for us to have a successful, purposeful, joyful life of service to you. And in your word, we find you, your Son, your Spirit, and we find comfort and encouragement and correction. So much that's there. We thank you that you've given it to us and that we can hear it preached and taught, that we can read it, and ask, Lord, that you would help us to, Lord, either just remember the importance of these exercises and then seek to make sure that we are doing them so that we can grow in godliness and not just so that we can check them off of our list, or that we would recognize how important these are and that we would work toward adding them or increasing them in our daily and weekly lives. Please be glorified by what's been said and what will be said and done the rest of today, especially in our church services. In Jesus' name, amen.